This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, I'm finishing up my series on keys to walking in God's love. Amen. And I'm telling you, we need to be walking in God's love. And I want to talk to you about a key this morning. It's a key to our salvation. It's the pinnacle of our salvation, the key that keeps us walking in God's love no matter what people do to us. Amen? And the key I want to talk to you about this morning is the key of forgiveness. Forgiveness. You know, forgiveness is a big thing. Amen. Glory to God. And it's our salvation is based on God forgiving us. Amen. Think about that. That is the pinnacle of our salvation. The main Bible theme for man's salvation is forgiveness. And so I'm going to give you a couple scriptures to start off with. I love this in Ephesians 1 verse 7. It says here, we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. That's powerful. That's powerful. So we're redeemed, glory to God. Then Peter, he was preaching in the book of Acts, and I love Peter because Peter made a lot of mistakes. And, you know, he denied Jesus at Jesus' time when he needed Peter the most. But you know what? God is the turnaround God. Amen. And no matter, it's not how you start in this Christian life, it's how you end. Amen. So we may start a little shaky like Peter, but we're going to end strong. Amen. Amen? And I love this. And so Peter was, you know, anointed by the Holy Ghost. And he says here, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Notice here it says, for the forgiveness of your sins. There we go again. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Powerful. So we see here, repentance brings forgiveness in our lives. And then, of course, I don't know if you've been a Christian for long and you've ever made any mistakes. Anybody, since you were a Christian, made any mistakes after you got saved? We all make mistakes even after we get saved. Amen. Now, we're not trying to make mistakes, but we're just not perfect, are we? Amen. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I hate making mistakes. Amen. I don't like missing the mark. I don't like making mistakes. But we're still living in a flesh and blood body. Amen. So we're not glorified yet. We're in a process of called sanctification. And what that means is we're becoming more like Jesus. Amen. Hopefully you're not becoming more like the other guy. Amen. You're not becoming more like the devil. You're becoming more like Jesus. Amen. We want to be more like Jesus. Amen. And I love this because you probably have this. If you made any mistakes after you've been saved, you need to have this scripture memorized here. It's 1 John 1:9. And that says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's powerful. So we can, you know, make some mistakes, but God is the God of the do-over. He's the God of the second chance. He's the God of the new beginning. Right. You got to believe that today. So here in these verses, forgiveness is in each one of these verses. And number one, we see some keys that forgiveness gives us. Number one, forgiveness, God's forgiving us, redeems our life, brings redemption into our life. And so when you are forgiven, you are redeemed. Somebody say, I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
And that means that you are bought from the auction block of sin, and now you're in the kingdom of God. The devil doesn't rule over anyone that's in Christ. Amen? And so I love that. Somebody say, I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
That's powerful. That's powerful. The next blessing to forgiveness is that Peter said, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so in receiving Jesus, you don't only receive your redemption, but you receive the power of the Holy Spirit to help you live this Christian life. Yes. I'm going to say this, you cannot live this Christian life by yourself. You need the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you into all truth.
Amen.
Amen. And so this comes with the salvation package and forgiveness. We get the Holy Spirit. That's God living on the inside of us. Something on the inside. Working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Amen. That's a song we used to sing. Amen. Got something on the inside. I love that. And so I don't know about you, but I need change in my life. I don't want to stay the same. I don't want to be that old creature that was sick. I want to be a new creation in Christ. Can I get a witness in the house today? And we are forgiven, not just forgiven sinners. We are forgiven saints. Amen. I love that. And then number three, forgiveness in John, 1 John 1:9 cleanses us from not just some unrighteousness, but cleanses us from all unrighteousness. These are benefits of receiving the forgiving power of God in your life. Somebody say, I am forgiven. I'm looking at innocent people today. You are innocent because of the blood of Jesus. And you got to believe that. Jesus' blood was shed for the forgiveness of all mankind's sins. Forgiveness of our sins gives us a power to walk in right relationship with the Father. In other words, when we receive Jesus, we receive forgiveness of sins. And God goes from God the judge to God our heavenly, merciful Father. So I'm telling you, you move God in a different light now. Now he's your heavenly Father because he looks at you through the blood of Jesus. So when we learn to receive God's forgiving power in our lives, it should prompt us to forgive those that hurt and abuse us. It should. In other words, when we start understanding the benefits of God's forgiveness for us, it should move us into a direction where we walk in love and mercy to others. Amen? I'm going to say this. One of the negative things, offense is the key that leads us to unforgiveness. And so we got to be very careful that we're not allowing offense to get in our lives. Another word for offense is hurt. Has anybody been hurt in the house? Have you ever been hurt by anybody? Well, hurt is just another way of saying you've been offended. And you know, Jesus talks about in Mark 4, the soils. He talks about there's four soils of people's hearts. And I'm going to read this, and we're going to look at one soil that is affected, and I believe that our soil can be affected in a negative way by how we respond to how people treat us. And in Mark 4:38, it says, "Hearken, behold, they went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of the earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100-fold." I'm looking at good fruit-bearing Christians this morning. I'm looking at Christians that have good hearts, that the seed of God's word is going in. But my question to you today, can our hearts be corrupted? Can a good heart turn to a bad heart? I believe that if we don't, one of the most important things the Bible says that you're supposed to guard is your heart. because out of it flows the issues of life. And so I think the enemy's trying to get some problems in a Christian's life. And so we want to focus on the stony ground. And I believe that there's stones that can come into our hearts if we're not guarding our hearts against offense. It says here in Mark 4, 5, and 6, some fell on the stony ground where it had not much earth. Immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of the earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Now, Jesus explains this in 4:17. He says, and they have no root in themselves, but so endure for a time, and afterward, with affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake, they are immediately offended. So this is telling me, I really believe when you get God in your life, you're open to the Lord, you love the Lord, but then persecutions can come in, people doing wrong things can come in, and it can cause you to walk away from the goodness of God. Amen. It can cause you to be offended with God. Anybody ever been mad at God in the house? Don't raise your hand. Because sometimes we get angry with God. Why? Because we start blaming God for our problems. And God's not your problem. And people aren't your problem. And you say, wait a minute, Pastor, back that truck up again. I got some issues with people. No, you might have some issues, but you know what? It's the devil that's working through people to get on your case. Yes, and you need to take authority over the devil. Amen. You need to walk in love towards those that are coming against you. Yes, amen. Amen. Give them something to eat. Amen. The Bible says, don't poison the food. Amen. So Jesus said in the last days, the hearts of many people will grow cold. That's what he said. He says in Matthew 24, 10 and 12, and then many will be offended. Many. That's a lot of people. Many will be, there's people that used to come to church and they got upset with somebody in the church and now they don't go to church anymore. Amen. You should never allow anybody, you should never allow a rift in your relationship with somebody to keep you from coming to church. Amen. Amen. And he says here, many will be offended. They will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because a lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. That word many, that gets me, amen? Because that's telling me, Jesus is saying be careful because we can lose our love walk over offense. And we need to be very careful with that. We're not allowing what other people do to us to hurt our relationship with God, and if our relationship is can be hurt because if we're holding on against somebody else, God takes it personally. Amen. Amen. So when we get hurt or offended, people can cause us, you know, it can cause us to say wrong things out of our mouths. We got to be very careful that we're not speaking negative about what negative people are doing to us. In Ephesians 4, 29 through 32, it says here, this is the Apostle Paul, and I love the book of Ephesians because it's really about really walking in who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, and what you can do in Christ. And then he talks about how to walk in your Christian walk. He said, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. So has anybody ever done anything bad and you want to talk about it? We always want to talk about what people do to us. Amen. But I want first you to talk to the Lord about it. You talk to the Lord about what people are doing. You pray and let the Lord know and vent to the Lord. And then get to a point where you, where God may show you something in that person's life and may reveal to you why that person is so mean. Maybe they had a bad background when they grew up. Maybe they didn't have it as nice as you. Maybe they had issues. Maybe they had an abusive parent. We don't know these things. We don't know what people go through. But God knows all things. And so when we're praying, God can give you a different light to look at that person, and God may reveal to you why that person responds or acts in the way they act. Amen. And it says here, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary of edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. We can grieve the Holy Spirit with bad attitude, with wrong words. Amen. And we don't want to be speaking negative about other people. In other words, I don't want to agree with people's problems. Amen. We want people to come out of their problems. We don't want to focus on their problems. And then in Ephesians 4:31, it says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And malice is a word means intent to hurt. So in other words, sometimes when we get hurt, we want people to feel the same pain that we feel. Come on, am I getting real today? Yes. Am I getting real today? We want people to feel the same pain and experience the same pain. Amen? Human nature wants justice. Amen? God has a higher law than justice, and that's God's mercy. Amen. Can somebody say mercy?
Mercy?
That's a higher law than justice. Jesus on the cross is God's mercy to mankind. In other words, Jesus was judged for the sins of mankind, and he didn't deserve it. God's justice was on punishing Jesus, and we should have received the punishment. But thank God Jesus received it for us. So we don't have to be punished. We can be blessed. I love that. So I would have to say mercy is a higher, you know, truth than judgment. It says here in James 2:13, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy, but mercy triumphs over judgment. So mercy is a higher expression of God's love than his justice. Amen? In Ephesians 4:32, it says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you. Of course, a lot of times we don't think we're that bad, that we were that bad before we got saved. We look at ourselves with rose-colored glasses. Amen? We don't see the flaws that we have. We have a tendency of focusing on other people's flaws. Have you ever noticed that? So how do we forgive others in Christ? How do we do that? Amen. Well, you know, you have to think about what Jesus, first of all, did for you. Amen. And you got to think about the love and the mercy of God. You know, God is merciful. Amen. Like I said, when we receive Jesus, we receive the forgiving power of God, and we're redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Amen. And God goes from God the judge to God our merciful Heavenly Father. And I love this because this is God's nature. Let me read God's nature. In Psalms 103, 8 through 12, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. And so that's where I need to get to. I need to be slow to anger, and I need to be abounding in mercy. Anybody have a short fuse in here? He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Somebody say, I'm forgiven. And when we get a revelation that God has forgiven us of all our shortcomings, we should lend the same to others around us. Here's a powerful key. Repentance brings forgiveness, and repenting of sin and not repenting of sin brings judgment. I'm going to say that again. Repentance brings forgiveness, not repenting of sin brings judgment. So this is key because the Apostle Paul had a person in the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 5, 1 and 2. And what happened was that this man, this is kind of a, this is a story where this man was having a relationship with his mother-in-law and they were overlooking it. And so Paul wrote in the letter to the Corinthians that they were supposed to judge this man and kick him out of the church because he was in unrepentant sin. And unrepentant sin brings judgment. Amen. And repentance brings forgiveness. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house today? Amen. And it says here in 1 Corinthians 5, 3, for I indeed is absent in body, but present in spirit, have already judged. And so he judged the man, and he turned him over to the destruction of his flesh, that Satan could get a hold of him. And I don't know about all that, but all I know is that when you're walking in sin, you open the door to the devil, and the devil can attack your life. Amen. Has anybody ever experienced that before? Amen. When you're not walking with God, amen? And then this man repented, and the people that were in the Corinthian church, it's in 2 Corinthians 2, 5, 8. Let me read this. It says, I'm not over... He repented and tried to come back to the church, and they were kind of, you know, they didn't want him, you know, they were being hard and not forgiving him. And so the Apostle Paul says, listen, this guy is repenting. You need to forgive. And so when somebody repents, you need to forgive. Amen. And even if they don't repent, you need to forgive. Amen. Amen. Even if they don't. And he says here, I'm not overstating it when I say that the man who caused all the trouble hurt all of you more than he hurt me. Most of you opposed him, and that was punishment enough. Now, however, it's time to forgive and comfort him. Otherwise, he may be overcome by discouragement. So I urge you now to reaffirm your love to him. So one of the ways we prove our love to one another is to forgive one another. Amen. Amen? One way we prove our love to our spouse is forgive them and not hold offense over them and vice versa. Amen. Because I'm telling you, even though you might be married, you're in a relationship. And sometimes there's issues and there's trouble in paradise. Have you ever had trouble in paradise? Amen. And it says here in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. Amen. So here, Paul is exhorting husbands to love your wives. Amen. In spite of everything that's going on in the relationship. And then, of course, the Bible says for wives to respect their husbands. And it says here, one way to show you love for your kids is that you need to, you know, forgive them as well. And it says in Ephesians 6, 4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. So we want to have good relations with our spouses. We want to have good relationship with people, glory to God. Now let's look at what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not compromise of morals. Forgiveness is not compromise of morals. If I forgive them, they will think what they done was okay. Have you ever thought that way? If I let it go, then they will think, no, we forgive them not for their sake, but for our sake. Somebody says this, not forgiving is like drinking poison and hoping the other person would die. That's not forgiving, amen? And number two, forgiveness is not a violation of justice. Amen? If I forgive them, they are going to get away with injustice. No, the Bible is very clear that when you walk in forgiveness, who fights your battles? You don't fight your own battles. You don't fight your own battles. You allow God to fight your battles. God is the one that will fight your battles. The victory's ours and the battle's the Lord. Amen. So it says in Romans 12:19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves. Amen. But rather give place to the wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine and I will repay, says the Lord. So forgiveness is not a violation of justice. Why? Because God will always even the score. Yes. Nobody ever gets away with it. God will make sure it's taken care of. Do you believe that today? So forgiveness is not a violation of justice. God is the judge and he will take care of it. Forgiveness is not avoiding conflict. Sometimes we think, well, if we forgive and just let it go, we're going to avoid the conflict. No, no. Jesus says it this way. Moreover, in Matthew 18:50, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him. What? You're supposed to tell your brother if you felt like that they did something wrong? Yes. You should let them know. Why? Because you should get it out in the open. You should let them know. That's why you don't want to bottle things up. A lot of times in relationships, you bottle things up, and then pretty soon, so they do that final thing one more time, and you blow up. Have you ever been there? And God doesn't want us bottling things up. He wants us reconciling to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And he says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, notice it said that, between you and him alone. You're not supposed to get a bunch of people involved. Amen. And get a posse going to talk to that Aaron brother. Because you got that posse ready to string them up. Right? Amen. So he says, tell him alone. This is Jesus' word. This is in red. This is Jesus. And it says, if he hears you, you have gained your brother. That means he's come to the realization that he crossed the line and that he finally said, listen, I see my error of my ways and I'm asking you to forgive me. Glory to God. Forgiveness is not automatic trust. Just because you forgive somebody doesn't mean you automatically trust them. They're going to have to prove out their trust with you in time. That means that you got to continue to guard your heart with somebody that does you wrong until they prove that they're not going to do you wrong anymore. Can I get a witness in the house today? Amen. Normally that takes time, amen? Forgiveness is not an absence of pain. You can forgive and still feel pain. Have you ever forgave somebody but was still hurt over it? That pain can linger. Amen. But I believe this, that if you start praying for that person and letting the Lord know that you've forgiven them and start praying that God will open their eyes and bring them out of deception and bless them, that pain will lessen and lessen and lessen. Now, what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is releasing debt. In other words, the person owes you nothing. In unforgiveness, the person owes you. Two things we do in releasing debt. We release the account to God, and we release the person. We release the person to God. So we release the account to God, and we release the person to God. We know this, and I kind of hit this on the series of Peter asking Jesus, how many times should I forgive somebody? And Peter was thinking he was being really, you know, very gracious. He says seven times, and he's thinking that that's big. Is that seven times, Lord? Should I forgive at least seven times? And after the seventh time, off with their heads. Right? But you know what? Jesus said not unto seven, but seven times 70. In other words, an innumerable, you don't have to count 490 times and that's it. Amen. I know you're on your count. You're on 300 right now. Amen. And so you don't want to be counting 490 because that's not what Jesus meant. He was given a high number saying that forgiveness is an ongoing thing. Then he goes on with this man that owed this king millions of dollars. And he begged the king not to throw him in prison to pay it. And the king released him of millions of dollars of debt. That would be our salvation. We owe God millions of dollars in a sense because of our sin. We don't think, well, I wasn't that bad as a sinner. Listen, it doesn't matter what degree you are as a sinner, you are still in judgment of hell. No matter what little sins you may have done, you are still in judgment of hell. And you can't pay enough to get out of hell. Amen? It's only by the blood of Jesus that redeems us and forgives us of our sins that gets us out of judgment of going to hell. So I'm telling you, God's forgiveness is worth more than millions of dollars. And we got to get a revelation of that. But you know what? This man found another man after he was forgiven and started choking him. You know the story. And said, pay me what you owe me. And the man said, have mercy on me. I will pay you. And the man that was forgiven of so much threw him in jail. And then the king heard about it, called him back and said, listen, I heard you didn't forgive the brother that had a little bit that owed you. And you had a lot that you owed me and I forgave you. Shouldn't you have done the same thing? Amen. And so, and then the king said, throw him into prison where he'll be tormented by the tormentors. And Jesus said, this is what will happen to us if we don't forgive people of the sins that they do to us. Amen. And so I'm telling you, I don't want to be in that predicament. Amen. I like what the Lord's Prayer says. And I have the Lord's Prayer. I pray the Lord's Prayer as a template for my praying. And in verse 12 of Matthew 6 on the Lord's Prayer, it says, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then the next line in that prayer, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I believe that was put in there on purpose because we don't want to have a temptation of not forgiving those that hurt us. We don't want to be doing evil or harboring ill will or bitterness to anybody. Amen? Amen. And I love that. So it says here, Jesus goes on, and there's a law of sowing and reaping. Have you ever heard of the law of sowing and reaping? The Apostle Paul says, whatsoever a man sows, so shall he reap. Amen? And he says, if you sow to the flesh, what will you reap? Corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, what will you reap? Life. So I'm looking at Christians that sow to the Spirit. Amen? You're not sowing to the flesh. And sowing to the flesh is walking in unforgiveness. Sowing to the Spirit is walking in forgiveness. And so you're going to reap what you sow. I'm going to say again, we will reap what we sow. It's a powerful law. If you forgive, you reap forgiveness. But if you do not forgive, you reap unforgiveness. Amen. That's the law. And Jesus says it this way, for if you forgive men of their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 14. But if you do not forgive men of their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you of your trespasses. So it's a law. If you forgive, you're forgiven. If you don't forgive, then you reap no forgiveness. Is that powerful today? So I don't want to reap what I want to reap what I sow, and I want to reap forgiveness and not unforgiveness. Amen? Jesus forgave us, so we should forgive others. In Luke 23:34, Jesus said, Father, this is probably one of the most powerful things that Jesus said on the cross, because Jesus said seven things on the cross. One of my favorites, it is finished. I love that, because Jesus paid it all. Glory to God. In other words, the work has been done. You don't have to struggle in your walk with Christ. It's all done, paid in full. But he did say something on the cross. In the process of them spitting on him, saying all kinds of evil against him, criticizing him, gambling for his clothes, he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And then they divided the garments and cast lots, Luke 23:34. So that one of the most powerful statements that Jesus made on the cross was, Father, forgive them. Can you say the same thing? Can you say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? In other words, if they keep going in that same direction, they're going to reap what they sow. Amen. You sow to vanity, you reap the whirlwind, the Bible says. And I love in Romans 5, 8, 9, it says, but God demonstrated his own love towards us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Another scripture on the forgiving power of the blood of Jesus that saves us from the wrath of God to come. The wrath of God is coming on every person that's unrepentant. The wrath of God is coming on every person that has not received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, Jesus as their sin sacrifice. And I don't want to be in that camp where God is God the judge and I'm going to be judged for my sin. I want to be on the other camp where Jesus is judged and I'm going to get the blessing and the mercy of God. Now, you might be saying this morning, well, that was Jesus and Jesus was special. He was on the cross. He was 100% God, 100% man. He could say that. But what about Stephen? Have you heard about Stephen? He was the first martyr in the church. And he was preaching to the Pharisees. And he was preaching, and you know what the Pharisees started doing? Throwing stones at him. And Stephen was a regular person like you and me. Amen. Yes, he did have an anointing on his life. He was graced. Amen. And it says here in Acts 7, 59, 60, as they stoned Stephen, he was calling on God and saying, Lord, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Powerful. So even Stephen, Stephen, the man that preached to the Pharisees, that the Pharisees killed, he said right before he died, Lord, do not hold this against them. Now, we know Paul was in the crowd. And some people say the anointing that Stephen walked in, the miracles and the healings, that it was transferred on Paul because Paul got that assignment from God. Paul was holding the coats of the people while they were stoning Stephen. So Paul receives the prayer that Stephen prayed, Lord, do not hold this against them. I'm going to say this. We deserve judgment. We don't deserve mercy. Yeah. Amen. But thank God we receive mercy because Jesus paid the price for our sins. Amen. For us to be redeemed, for us to have the Holy Spirit. Let me go to this. For God's forgiveness redeems us. God's forgiveness empowers us with the Holy Spirit. God's forgiveness cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Our forgiveness releases people from debt. Our forgiveness releases people to God, and our forgiveness releases me from the tormentors. And I believe if you receive this today, that as you start walking in the love of God, as you start meditating on what God has what God has done for you in saving you, glory to God, that you are not going to hell, but you're going to heaven. We need to be the same as the Lord. We need to be saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Did you receive it this morning? Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. I thank you, Father God, that we're going to continue to walk in your love. We're going to walk in your agape love. We're going to display our love by showing acts of kindness. We're going to show our love by being an influence to others. And we're going to show our love by walking in the forgiving power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Perhaps you're here in the audience. Perhaps you're watching online. And maybe you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Well, today is a day of salvation. So you need to pray this simple prayer and get Jesus in your life. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. If you prayed that for the first time, we believe you got born again. Stay connected with Exceed Life Church so you can grow in your walk with Christ. If you're here locally, come on out, be a part of Exceed Life Church. We'd love for you to be a part of this church. If you're not here locally, find a good church home so you can grow in Christ and become all that God has called you to be. Thank you for tuning in.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.